Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and good God, welcome to Historical Hystericals. Today, taking a look back at the Three Stooges. Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode one of Historical Hystericals. I'm Chris Brennan.
And I'm Commander Mike.
And today, in episode one, we're going to be looking back at the great comedy team of the Three Stooges.
Wonderful stuff. We grew up with these guys on television, but of course that's not how they started their career, almost 100 years ago.
100 years, back in 1895, believe it or not, Shemp was born.
Yeah, over 100 years ago, but their career started some time later. We'll go through all that chronologically.
Also, we'll do it in order as well.
Aha.
Yes, 1895, 17th of March, Shemp was born Samuel, oldest of the Horwitz brothers. Our Horwitz, Howard, you
yep.
figure it out.
All the Horwitz family became Howards. A lot of people then were Anglo-Saxonizing their names.
Okay.
And as for Samuel becoming Shemp, that turned out because his mother had a very thick accent. And every time she tried to call him Sam, it sounded like Shemp. So the name stuck with the family.
That's a really thick accent.
You believe it, yeah.
So if they became Howard brothers, does that mean that John Howard could have been one of the Stooges?
Australian Prime Minister as a stooge, so often.
He didn't go into show business. He was too worried about getting slapped all the time.
Yeah, now he got all he had to worry about was getting knives in the back, but that's another story.
Now, of course, after Shemp or Samuel came Moses.
Yep, Moses, of course, he became Mo. That was, once again, a family nickname, but what he became known on as on the streets.
Now, so there was five children in total in the Horwitz family. You got the Shemp and Mo, and then, of course, Larry came along in 1902.
Well, Larry was actually not a brother. He was Larry Fine, or actually he was born Louis Feinberg.
Hang on. I thought they were all brothers.
No. Only Shemp, Mo, and Curly were brothers.
Ah, see, we learn already.
Mm. Larry Fine, he comes in later. We'll go through this and we'll see this, but he was younger than Mo and Shemp, and, of course, Curly came a bit later on. Now, let's see. Professionally, they actually started their career. Mo was a bit of a lad around the beach in New York, and he'd play around on beaches, sing songs, play ukulele, and he ended up performing as one of the diving girls in summer theatre.
And that was with Ted Healy, right?
Ted Healy was his mate from his early days in being a teenager in New York.
I've just got a vision of Mo and Ted in drag. It's not there.
during summer theatre, it was all the holiday camps and the holiday resorts, and this is where they'd entertain, in exclamation marks.
Holiday camp being the ultimate word.
Yes. Mo also did some odd jobs and errands around the place for the Vitagraph Studios in Brooklyn, and he was rewarded with small roles in silent films that were being made there, and this is where he got his first taste of film. Now, that was in 1909.
Which is a great way to get into movies.
Oh, yes. You do little odd jobs here and there and get in wherever you can.
As opposed to my cat that does odd jobs in the backyard.
Exactly. Now, in 1914, Mo sent a photograph to a Louisiana showboat in the hope of getting a job. Now, unfortunately, it was a photograph of his good-looking neighbour.
Now, Mo, of course, at this stage was inventing the first Facebook profile.
Now, unfortunately, well, fortunately, they took him at his word and sent out a ticket for him to go from New York to Louisiana to join the cast. When he got there, he had to admit to the deception. So
it would have been a bit hard to sort of get away with. You walk in the door and they look at you and go, hang on a second, you're short and ugly. What happened to the tall blonde guy?
Exactly. So they gave him a few odd jobs, and once again, he picked up a few small roles on the showboat and proceeded to work his way up the cast and become a bit of a performer. So he did this for something like 6-7 years. So you got to remember, back in 1909, when they were performing as diving girls in summer theatre, working through, they were getting their experience. They knew how to perform. They just didn't fall into the movies.
Now, this is a lesson for all those young players out there. If you want to get anywhere in the entertainment industry, you've got to work at it. You've got to keep plodding away.
Learn your craft.
We do.
Be there.
Yes.
Now, in 1922, Mo and Shemp joined Ted Healy in a vaudeville act. So it was the two boys and Ted, They were billed as Ted Healy and his Southern Gentlemen, or sometimes Ted Healy and his Racketeers, or Ted Healy and his Lost Souls. Ted Healy was very good at self-promotion.
Yeah, all Ted Healy. No, they didn't use Stooges.
No, Stooges wasn't actually used while he was with Ted Healy. No, the Stooge name didn't come up for quite some time. But we'll get back onto that.
There you go.
After they'd been performing with Ted for a few months, they came across Larry Fine, who was doing an act on vaudeville, and they saw him and thought, ooh, this could go well. Now, give you a bit of background on Larry. As a child, Larry's left arm was badly burnt from an acid accident. The acid was used in his father's jewelry business. Now, he required immediate attention, and skin grafts were done on his arm.
After this, doctors recommended that Larry be given violin lessons as a form of therapy. So playing the violin was used to strengthen the damaged arm muscles in his left arm.
So Larry's skill as a violinist became so impressive, he eventually began to play professionally. He played at local theatre and amateur nights, usually taking out prizes. He then toured vaudeville, and that's where the boys met him. And they became three Stooges instead of just the two.
Now, with Ted Healy.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that's been reported is that Ted has said, okay, we like the way you look, we like the way you act, or you become a Stooge, but we don't want you to play the violin. And Larry said, fine. Depending on the report you read, he either picked up the violin and smashed it there and then, or just dropped it into the rubbish bin.
Stradivarius is currently spinning in his grave.
I don't know if Larry Fine was playing a Stradivarius in vaudeville.
You never know.
Yeah, true. Okay, so once again, from 1922, when Larry joins the team, up to 1930, they're touring vaudeville.
And 1930 was the first film with Ted Healy, wasn't it?
Exactly. They went through Fox Studios. Now, it wasn't a great success, but the Stooges' performances were considered the highlight of the film. Now, they were offered a contract without Ted Healy. Oh. Now, as we heard before, Ted Healy was the master of self-promotion and a bit of a businessman, shall we say.
He was full of himself, in other words.
Absolutely. Now, the fact that the Stooges were offered the contract without him, he went off to the studio and told the executives that the Stooges were his employees. So the offer was withdrawn, and after Howard Fine and Howard...
Try saying that three times fast.
Yeah, learnt the reason. They left Ted Healy to perform their own act, which quickly took off with a tour of the theatre circuit.
Much to Ted's dismay.
Oh, absolutely. He tried to stop the new act every way he could. Tried legal action. He claimed they were using copyrighted material. There are even accounts of Ted Healy threatening to bomb theatres if Howard Fine and Howard ever performed there. Now, please notice, they were performing under the name Howard Fine and Howard, not Stooges as yet. So all these threats from Healy worried Shemp so much that he almost left the act. Now, reportedly, the promise of a pay rise kept him on board.
As is the case with most actors.
Yes. Healy tried to revive the act by hiring replacement Stooges, but they were so inexperienced and not as well received as their predecessors.
Well, you can't really just make up the comedic timing of the Three Stooges. You're either born with it or you're not.
And as I said, we're looking at a good 15 years' experience behind them. So you can't throw someone in without this experience.
That's it. It's a bit like saying, well, Paul Hogan's not really doing the job anymore. We'll hire someone else to replace him.
Yeah, and put him in shorts and cut-off shirts, and it doesn't work. Really?
No, it doesn't.
So Ted didn't know this. So for 2 years, the boys are running around doing a theatre circuit, enjoying themselves and getting a bit of notoriety. Back in 1932, Moe was now acting as the business manager. Now, Healy reached a new agreement with his former Stooges, and they were booked for a production of Schubert's The Passing Show of 1932. Now, during rehearsals, Healy received a more lucrative offer and found a loophole in the contracting, allowing him to leave.
So if he wanted to get out, he could. If they wanted to, well, stiff bickies.
Yes. Once again, he was looking out after number one.
Of course.
Yeah.
Good old Ted.
Yeah, Shemp was not happy with this. He was fed up with Healy's abrasiveness and decided to quit the act and found work almost immediately in Vitaphone Studios as well as RKO, MGM and Monogram. Now, he even appeared in the Abbott and Costello film Africa Screams. What's really interesting, in that film with him is an actor called Joe Besser, who would eventually replace him as a Stooge on films. It's worth seeing Africa Screams just for the scenes that those two play together in. We'll talk about...
I love watching some of the old movies.
Oh, actually. Brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, you watch some of the old stuff and you see some of the actors that pop up and you go, oh my God, that person became so-and-so. And it really, really gives you some great history lessons when you go through it all.
Yeah, I love it. You know, personally, whenever there's a black and white movie on TV, I'm sitting there riveted to the opening credits to see if there's anyone before they became famous.
Mike, that's just your TV.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, stuff's broadcast in colour now. 1933,
we're up to. Mo insisted that the team stay with his old friend Ted Healy. So this is
sucker, Mo.
Yeah, but now they needed a third stooge. Who do they call on? I'm asking you. Who do they call on?
Any more Howards left?
Yeah, there's young Curly.
The youngest Howard brother.
Yeah. He was born Jerome. Now, the deal, the story goes that they had a meeting. Mo took young Jerry in and said, here he is. Now, he had really long chestnut red hair and a handlebar mustache.
Oh, God.
Now, he was actually doing his own act on vaudeville at the time as a mad conductor.
And so, with the Mo and that, I can imagine it.
Yeah. So Mo brought him in for a meeting, and Ted Healy said, you don't really look all that funny. Look at your brothers. Look at Mo. He's got this puddin' bowl haircut. Look at Larry. He's got bald top and curly around the sides. It just looks weird. You look normal. You don't look funny.
With a handlebar moustache and bright red hair, he didn't look
funny. Yeah, well, that was Ted Healy.
Funny. Right, okay. Yes. Ronald McDonald would be pleased.
Anyway, Jerry left the room, returned a little bit later with his head shaved, although the handlebar moustache did stay for a time. As he came in equipped, boy, do I look girly. Now, Ted Healy apparently heard curly and the name stuck.
Oh. So that's how it came about.
That's one of the versions that came about, and we'll stick with that one because that's originated from Mo himself. So we'll settle for that.
We'll trust Mo.
Yeah. So with a new lineup, Curly in the lineup, they started making films. 1934, they made four films for MGM.
Yeah, but these were with Ted Healy, weren't they?
With Ted Healy. Now, there's one of them of particular note called Hollywood Party. Mm-hmm. Now, this was with Jimmy Durante, Oliver Hardy, Stan Laurel, Jack Pearl, and Ted Healy.
God, what a lineup.
Oh, it was incredible. Now, the Stooges were so undervalued at MGM at the time, they didn't even warrant an invitation to the Hollywood Party. So they were playing actors who weren't warranted tickets to the film. So they play autograph hounds who look for movie stars, but then they encounter Ted Healy and a quartet of scientists who identify the Stooges as primitive humanoid specimens. Okay, the boys' work was really praised. Don't know why, but it was the starting point. They were really starting to get noticed. Then later in 1934, Ted Healy and the boys part company. Now, all the abuse and the drunkenness and the fact that Ted had the boys on a standard wage, now, that was only a fraction of what he had on contact with MGM. Now, how's this for a bit of a con man businessman? He had a contract with MGM and said the Stooges were his employees. So he only paid them a fraction of the contract that MGM was paying him. He was taking the lion's share of the money from MGM.
Hence, Ted Healy invented workplace agreements.
Yes. Now, Ted would die 3 years after they broke up. Now, just...
Oh.
Now, he'd reportedly left a hospital after the birth of his son to celebrate at the Brown Derby restaurant in Hollywood.
Right,
And then moved on to the Trocadero, two great landmarks in Los Angeles.
Both with open bars.
Yeah. So somewhat intoxicated, Ted became involved in a fight with one or more of the people that left him seriously injured and nearly unconscious. Now, he was found by friends delirious and bleeding on the sidewalk in front of the Trocadero.
And they thought he was doing another routine.
Yeah. But he was taken to a doctor. He never really regained full consciousness and died at 11:30 a.m. Tuesday, December 21st, 1937. The cause of his death was determined at the time as kidney failure due to both the beating and years of alcohol abuse.
Not good.
So ends Ted Healy. Let's move on to the boys. They actually, once they split with Ted, signed a contract with Columbia Pictures, and this is where they became known as the Three Stooges.
So 1934, the Three Stooges are born.
Now, believe it or not, in the next 23 years, they made 190 film shorts.
Oh, my God. 190.
And five features under the one original contract.
That is a staggering number of films, 190.
Absolutely. Now, they were shorts. Now, the younger people who are listening to this would not know what a movie short was. In the early days, back in even as far back as the 60s, there used to be a movie at the cinema, but before it would be two or possibly three short films that would run 10 to 15 minutes. They could be newsreels. They could be short comedies. They should be short dramas.
Comics or cartoons.
Cartoons were also big features. They're short features as well. So when you went to the movies, you saw two or three shorts and the main feature. Not today. You just walk in and see 500 previews of what's coming up.
Mm.
And commercials for everything. But this is where the Three Stooges had their niche. They made 190 films in 23 years. Amazing.
And under one contract.
One contract. Now, according to Mo, the Columbia Pictures studio head, Harry Cohen, would always wait until the last minute to renew the contract. The Stooges were too worried about keeping their jobs as an increasingly declining short-circuit market would take over. They wouldn't dare ask for a pay rise in their 23 years for working with Cohen.
Still sounds like a workplace agreement to me.
Now, this was an era before agents and managers for performers. Everyone had a contract with the studio, and when it came time to renew, you know, the performers were really in the back seat. So we didn't have agents and managers back in those days.
No. But having made 190 films, of course, the Stooges were incredibly popular at this time. And the theatre owners all wanted to show Stooges short films before their main features.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, Columbia would insist that the studios take one of their B-grade features along with it. So, yeah, the studios, well, the cinemas that wanted to make money, of course, so they wouldn't take the B-grade films, and therefore they wouldn't always be showing Stooges movies.
Exactly. And the incredible thing is, a lot of people would show up, see the Stooges short, and then leave. They'd pay full admission and only stay for the short. Amazing!
I've done that a couple of times, too.
Yeah, well, that was for commercials for Star Wars films.
Yeah, well, you know, got to get my priorities right. Yeah,
our times change.
Yeah. 1946.
46. Oh, that's the year Curly had a bad year.
Really bad year for Curly. Well, he was easily the most popular member of the team with his childlike mannerisms and his natural comedic charm. Yeah, the audiences absolutely loved him. But the fact that he had to shave his head all the time, of course, he wasn't that popular with the women. So,
he felt he wasn't appealing to women.
He felt he wasn't appealing to the women. I mean, the women, well, we all know women love bald-headed men, don't they, Mike?
Yes, I hope so.
So he had these insecurities, and so to cover up his insecurities, he ate a lot, and, of course, he drank a lot. And so whenever he made personal appearances, he was always out eating, drinking, carrying on, having a merry old time. And that would be about 7 months out of the year he'd be doing that. So you can imagine his weight absolutely exploded. He ballooned right up in the 1940s. His blood pressure went through the roof, became dangerously high, and his wild lifestyle and his constant drinking eventually caught up with him. And in 1945, his performances started to suffer.
Now, anyone viewing Curly's last dozen or so shorts will see a very seriously ill Curly struggling to get through even the most basic scene.
Yeah, in fact, during the filming of Half-Wit's Holiday in 1946, now that was the team's 97th film, Curly suffered a stroke, and they had to finish the filming without him. Now, you'll notice if you watch the filming, the last couple of minutes of the movie, there's no Curly there.
Exactly. It's a big pie fight, and Curly is obvious by his absence. Yeah, it was a big pie fight.
And what's a pie fight without Curly?
Exactly. Although Mo was a dead eye with it, but
I used to be like that with cow pets, but that's another story. Now, Curly's health necessitated a temporary retirement from the act, and while the Stooges hoped for a full recovery, Curly never made it into films again.
Well, not quite. A bit later on, he did recover a little bit to get into a film called Hold That Lion.
Ah.
It was a cameo. Now, if you can get onto YouTube and look it up, Three Stooges, Hold That Lion, you'll see the only film where all three Howard brothers are on screen at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
As a beautiful little scene. Please look it up, and it's great. Yeah.
Okay, so Curly's now out of the picture. We've got to bring in somebody else. Who are we going to turn to?
Mo turned to his older brother, Shemp Howard, to take Curly's place. Now, Shemp was very hesitant to join the Stooges because he had a very successful career at the time. He had appearing in a lot of films. He realized, though, that Mo and Larry's careers would be finished without the Stooge Act, so Shemp wanted some kind of assurance that rejoining would only be temporary, so he'd be able to leave once Curly recovered. Unfortunately, Curly's recovery never really happened, and he died in 1952.
What a brother. He's sort of sitting there, he's got his own career going, and he turns around and says, well, if I don't step in, my two brothers are going to have nothing to do, their careers are going to be dead, so I'm going to do the honourable thing and step in and help them out.
The money would have been nice.
Well, there was that too, yeah.
Let's see, Shemp appeared with the Stooges in 76 more shorts. 76.
And it was also a quickie Western comedy in there too called Gold Raiders.
Yes, that's right.
One to look out for.
You've got to love YouTube for these things. Now, during this period, Mo, Larry and Shemp made a pilot for the Three Stooges television show called Jerks of All Trade in 1949.
That was in 1949, yeah.
Yeah, I'll repeat that. Jerks of All Trade, YouTube. I kind of love modern technology. You can see these wonderful things happening. Now, although the series was never picked up, the pilot is currently in public domain. YouTube.
Yay!
you might also want to look out for the boy's appearance on the Frank Sinatra show, broadcast in 1952. Apparently, Sinatra was a big fan of the boys and their slapstick comedy in general.
Oh, yeah. You'd never pick that from looking at old Cranky Frankie, would you?
No.
Hmm.
Now, let's see, another piece of trivia I love. Larry and his wife, Mabel, lived in hotels. They didn't own a home.
Oh,
First was the President Hotel in Atlantic City, where his daughter Phyllis was raised, and then the Knickerbocker Hotel in Hollywood. Now, much later on, Larry bought an old Mediterranean-style house in the Los Feliz area of Los Angeles.
And, of course, their lovely daughter Phyllis went on to be a very famous bellhop.
Okay, so the boys are riding high right up until 1952.
Bom, bom, bom.
Those lousy people at Columbia downsized their short subject division. Okay, let's see. Hugh McCollum was sacked as the director, and Edward Bernards resigned out of loyalty to McCollum, leaving only Jules White to both produce and direct the Three Stooges shorts. In another cost-cutting measure, White would create new Stooge shorts by borrowing footage from old films.
Ah, so we do sort of a clip show.
Yeah, exactly. Now, he was rather good at it. He'd set it in slightly different storylines and filming a few new scenes, often with the same actors in the same costumes. They're very subtle, and the recycling of the old footage was very nicely done. You'd be very hard to spot it. The later shorts were cheaper and recycling was way more obvious, and as much as 75% of the running time would consist of old footage. So
that's just sad.
Yeah, 3 years of cost cutting and penny pinching really made the later films for the boys very, very sad.
And, of course, a lot of the studio execs learnt from that example, and that's why when you're watching Two and a Half Men or The Simpsons or anything like that, you'll suddenly get the clip show where they show all the bits from the old episodes all hacked together because they couldn't be bothered writing any new stories.
No, I've got to tell you something about Shemp. Shemp loved the boxing.
Uh-huh.
He loved the boxes. Now, imagine Shemp going to a boxing match. Mm-hmm. He would duck and weave and shadow box in his seat next to the ring. So much so that anyone sitting around him was in very serious danger of getting hurt. Oh, yeah. Now, what this resulted in was a lot of the people sitting around would be watching Shemp and not the fight in the ring. And it was very entertaining. You'd duck and weave he'd have a ball. Which brings us to one fateful night. On November 23rd, 1955, Shemp went out with friends to one of these boxing matches at the Legion Stadium. When the fight was over, Shemp hailed a taxicab, taking him to his North Hollywood home with his friend Al Winston. Shemp sat back, lit up a cigar, and then he slumped over onto Winston's lap. Shemp had had a heart attack and was dead at the age of 60.
Okay, so Shemp's now left the act completely.
Mm-hmm.
So we need a replacement Shemp.
Has Mo got any more brothers?
I don't know, has he?
He has indeed. Brothers Jack and Irving.
Uh-huh.
Also Howard brothers, but they never went into show business.
Oh, okay. So there were five in total.
Five in total.
Three went into showbiz.
Yep.
And two went into the rag trade.
Well, don't know where they were. I think one of them became a locksmith, but I'm just going on memory from the biography of Mo Howard I read some time ago. With Shemp gone, we need a new stooge. Along comes Joe Besser. Remember we spoke about him earlier? He appeared with Shemp in the Africa Screams movie with...
Abbott and Costello. Mm. Yeah. So Joe comes along and replaces Shemp in 1956 and does 17 shorts as one of the Three Stooges.
Exactly. Now, Besser said he thinks that the sight of Larry's face seemed a bit calloused.
Ew.
So he had a clause put in his contract specifically prohibiting him from being hit too hard. So he was the only stooge that wasn't hit. That was in later films that was listed because he really saw where it was all going. But he was also the only third stooge ever to dare to hit Mo back in retaliation and get away with it. Because Mo
really had it good, didn't he? He got to slap the dickens out of everybody.
For years until Joe comes along and Mo knows he's under contractual obligation not to hit.
Whack! I can't do anything. Ah!
This brings us up to 1957.
The end of the Columbia era.
That's it. Now, Columbia were the last studios to still be producing shorts. And
that's short films, not the ones that wear.
Yes, exactly. Mm. The market had all but dried up for these films. So the studio opted to not renew the Stooges' contract when it expired in December 1957.
That would have been shattering, I tell you.
Well, not as shattering as Mo said... The suddenness that it came, they were there at Columbia one day and gone the next. And no thank yous, no farewell parties for the 24 years of dedicated service and the dollars that brought into the studio. Now, Mo recalled that a few weeks after leaving Columbia, he drove into the studio to say goodbye to several studio executives. He was stopped by the guard at the gate, obviously not a Stooge fan, and since he didn't have the current year's studio pass, was refused entry.
Now, that would just absolutely destroy you, wouldn't it?
24 years and then just be flicked off like that.
Oh. 1957, of course, was the last production that they did with Columbia, and that was The Flying Saucer Daffy.
That's the one.
That was filmed in December 19th to 20. So December 19 and 20, that's 2 days, and they did the entire film.
Oh, yeah, they churned them out very quickly.
Yeah.
And they made a lot of their money by doing so many films quickly, then going out and doing live appearances. But that, once again, dried up.
Uh-huh.
Once the studios stopped making, they couldn't make any more films. Now, although the Stooges were no longer working for Columbia, the studio had enough completed films on the shelf to keep releasing new comedies for another 18 months.
Oh, that just sucks.
Yeah. They were released not in the order they were produced. Now, the final Stooge release was called Sappy Bullfighters. That didn't reach the theatres until June 4th, 1959.
So that's nearly 2 years after they've been sacked.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yep. So with no active contract in place, Mo and Larry discussed plans for a personal appearance tour. Now, meanwhile, Joe Besser's wife had a minor heart attack, and he preferred to stay local, leading him to withdraw from the act.
Well, good old Joe. He stood by his wife.
But this was the first time in nearly 30 years the Stooges had hit a dead end.
Boom, boom.
Needn't have worried a year later.
We're cheap. I do the sound effects. So.
In January 1958, Columbia's television subsidiary, Screen Gems, offered a package consisting of 78 Stooge films, mainly from the Curly era, which were very well received. So almost immediately, an additional 40 shorts hit the market. And by 1959, all 190 Stooge short films were airing regularly on TV.
Wow. It's amazing how the little screen can revive the big screen star.
And it did. Heavy exposure was aimed squarely at children. This led parents to watch alongside their kids, and before long, Mo and Larry found themselves in high demand. So Mo very quickly signed burlesque comic Joe DiRita as the third stooge. Now, Joe DiRita then shaved his head and became Curly Joe because of his resemblance to the original Curly Howard. And it was also easier to distinguish him from Joe Besser, the earlier stooge called Joe. So
it always confused me a little bit when watching some of the Stooges movies, and later on you're going, hang on, that's Curly Joe, and that's I give up.
But that's Curly Joe, that's Joe, yeah. So the Three Stooges lineup went on to make several popular full-length films in 1959 through to 1965. Now, we all know these ones. Have Rocket Will Travel, The Three Stooges Meet Hercules, The Three Stooges Go Around the World in a Daze. Mm-hmm. Now, these were aimed at the kiddie matinee market. So the Saturday afternoon films where the kids would go along, that's what they wanted.
Wasn't there one about the Three Stooges going to Mars as well?
Yes, Around the World in a Daze, I think that one was.
Oh, okay. I'm with you.
The exception to the kids' fare was Snow White and the Three Stooges. It was a children's fantasy, and it was filmed in Technicolor.
Ah.
Now, for those comedy fans, they also did a cameo film in the wonderful film It's a Mad, 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 Mad World.
A mad, 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 mad. Yeah, you've got enough mads in there. That's good.
Yep. That was great. If you're not familiar with the film, go grab this at your video library. Great film, Mad, 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 Mad World, and it's got every comedian of the era in it.
That the cast of that film is like a who's who of the comedians of the world. It's brilliant.
And the great part is, once they started filming it, people found out about it and started ringing up the producers saying, I want on. But we digress.
We do.
Yes. So watch out for Three Firemen. They're the Three Stooges in one of their last films.
The trio also filmed 41 short comedy skits for the new Three Stooges, which featured a series of 156 animated cartoons produced for TV. The Stooges appeared in live-action colour footage, which preceded and followed each animated adventure in which they voiced their own respective characters.
Now, the Three Stooges cartoons are also very interesting, YouTube. So look them up. They're really, really fascinating to see the boys doing their own voices and getting into very strange situations that they could never film live.
We're going to rename you Commander YouTube, I think.
Well, when there's so much product out there and so interesting, it's great. Well, listen, we can even look up colorized versions of the old Three Stooges films on YouTube. They've colorized them.
It's also good to go down to your local video store and have a look around, because sometimes you can get box sets of Three Stooges movies, and there's like 30, 40 of the short movies on these DVD box sets, and they're really, really worth grabbing.
Absolutely. They've been remastered, and the quality is astounding. It looks like they went out and filmed it yesterday with black and white film. Sharp and clear. We see it in better quality today than they did when they were filmed.
Now, this, of course, all leads us to 1969.
The Three Stooges filmed the pilot episode for the new TV series called Kook's Tour. This was a combination travelogue and sitcom. The storyline went that the retired Stooges travelled around the world, with these episodes filmed on location. In January 9th, 1970, during production of the pilot, Larry suffered a paralysing stroke, ending his acting career as well as plans for the television series.
I can imagine back in the 1970s it would have been an enormously expensive production to do.
Yep, as I say, they were doing their pilot.
Well, travelling around the world, yep. With the whole crew and all the actors.
Yep. Larry suffered another stroke in 74 and then slipped into a coma. He died on January 24th, 1975, age 72. Devastated by his friend's death, Mo nevertheless decided that the Three Stooges would continue.
That would have been a really hard decision to make, I can imagine.
It would have torn his heart out, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Several movie ideas were considered, including one called Blazing Stewardesses.
Okay, interesting title.
It was a shocking film, but when Mo had to pull out, it was made with the last surviving Ritz brothers. The Ritz brothers were contemporaries, or basically the opposition to the Marx brothers.
Oh, okay. Mm. So Mo pulled out. Why did Mo pull out of the film, though?
Ill health. Unfortunately, he fell ill from lung cancer. Lung cancer, the big one. He died on May 4th, 1975.
Wow, that's a pretty good innings, actually, going through to 75.
Yeah. So with Mo gone, it was inconceivable that the Three Stooges would continue without a Howard.
Oh.
Curly Joe did perform live with a couple of guys called Moosey Garner and Frank Mitchell as the new Three Stooges in the mid-1970s, did a few Las Vegas shows, but that didn't really take off. Joe Besser died on March 1st, 1988, and then Curly Joe died on July 3rd, 1993.
And so when does the Three Stooges?
A great career, and as we said before, look it up on DVD. The remastered DVDs are wonderful. Mm-hmm. There are colorized versions on YouTube, as well as the old classics and the wonderful episodes to watch.
So you've been listening to Historical Hystericals with Chris Brennan
and Commander Mike. If you like what you've seen, drop us a line. We can we'd love to hear from you.
Like this is a podcast. They can't see anything.
Well, if you like what you heard. I don't know.
Modern technology hasn't quite caught up with Mike yet.
I'm a little bit out of it. I'm just a little bit sad at the end of the Stooges. It's like, Oh, that's got to me, that. Anyway, if you like what you've heard, give us a call. Give us an email. You can contact me on commandermike356@yahoo.com.au.
Yahoo!
Once again, that email address, commandermike356@yahoo.com.au.
Are you saying there's 356 Commander Mikes out there?
No, I'm Commander Mike 356 days a year.
Oh.
Love it.
So who are we going to tackle next, Mike? Any ideas?
I have no idea. If anyone's got any suggestions, drop us a line. We've got some. Oh, I've got a couple of ideas there lined up.
Maybe we'll the Marx Brothers.
Maybe the Marx Brothers, maybe Abbott and Costello, maybe Laurel and Hardy.
Oh, Laurel and Hardy. We've got to look at Laurel and Hardy.
We will. In the near future, I don't know if they'll be the next one, but we'll get it out there and get it up there. And if you like what you see, keep following us on whatever downloader you use, whether it's iTunes or whatever.
But are you arrested for getting it out there?
We'll leave that alone. It was thrown out of court. Nothing was proved. We got to go.
Thanks for listening, guys.
See you next time. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.